Hello, thanks for finding the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Down with the latest news from Stu Clarkson and also a special feature from David Lloyd on 60 years of the Today programme. But we're focusing this week on radio advertising.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Lurking in a report from the Advertising Association this week was news that total radio revenue has grown by 11.1% year on year in quarter two 2017. That's an astonishing double-digit growth. And it was 5.2% higher in the first half of this year compared to the first half of 2016. So radio revenue's growth is outperforming the total advertising market. And I'm not sure we saw that coming. So good news for commercial radio in the UK. And we thought we'd find out why it's happened and where we go from here. So Mark Barber at Radio Centre, Planning Director, you must know the answer to this. Are these good figures the result of radio simply becoming more fashionable in the agencies?
I think that is part of it, but I think it's more a number of factors creating almost irresistible momentum for the medium. Firstly, radio is still in really good shape. Its audiences are holding up very, very effectively. The commercial sector is doing very well at the moment. And also over the last year or so, we've had a number of new national stations launching, which I think also helps create interest in the medium. But I think radio is also benefiting from tapping into sort of broader revenue opportunities. So digital audio is helping to stimulate greater interest in audio generally, and I think radio is benefiting from that. Suddenly, people have got something exciting and digital to talk about in this field. Initiatives such as Global's DAX and Bauer's in-stream services, I think, have really sort of helped harness some of that in revenue terms for radio.
I'm really interested in that because we were told, weren't we, you know, 10 years ago, that digital could be the death of us. But actually, radio is riding the digital wave.
Trevor, you know better than anyone that every time a new piece of technology comes along, it spells the death knell for radio, apparently. But it seems that we continue to offer something that no other medium can. And even with digital audio services, that are probably the most direct competitor one could imagine in recent years, there's definite evidence to suggest that actually it's the bits that radio provides in between the songs that really help differentiate it from these services and mean it can play a very different role for listeners in their lives compared to just streaming services. And all of the audience data from Radar Midas suggests that actually where streaming services are taking audience from is the time that people used to spend listening to their own personal record or music collection.
Is there any sense in which ads or sponsor messages are simply getting better and that people are perhaps more tolerant of them because the audio quality is just making them more attractive?
I think there's definite evidence that people are understanding how to harness the power of audio in advertising more effectively. So we're seeing a lot more people starting to think about some industry jargon here, distinctive audio brand assets that they can use. That could be music or voices or characters or strap lines, and they use them consistently across their different radio executions, but also in other media as well, so on TV or in cinema or digital video. I think a particularly effective one from the last year has been Flash, which took the Queen soundtrack from the film Flash Gordon and used that in their TV and on their radio as well. And you know, when you hear that on air, or even if it's playing on TV and you're not looking at the screen, it's unmistakably an ad for Flash. And if you've seen the TV commercial and you've seen the dog on the TV commercial, I think when you hear it again on the radio, you're also reminded of the images you've seen on the TV. Something, an effect we have called virtual TV. So it works and makes it the whole communications mix work much more effectively and delivers a multiplier effect for advertisers.
Oh no! Little Timmy's got hold of a marker pen! My wall looks like a colouring book. What am I going to do?
Flash! Clears up the impossible. Wow, he's really made a mess. It's a pain, but we won't stress. In the hawk is drawn overall on the wall, lots of scrolls, but we can clean this up.
Flash Magic Eraser, we love you.
Flash! Ah! Clears up the impossible.
The other thing, I think, particularly in the context of this year with all of the issues that came up relating to YouTube and Facebook and safety of environment and that sort of thing, I think, you know, radio's in a really strong position as far as this is concerned. We got completely transparent third-party audience measurement, very specific campaign reporting through JET. We got no issues with ad blocking or ad fraud. And we provide a completely safe and regulated environment for advertisers. And so, you know, we've tried to make a big part of that across this year. And I think it's really helping as another element to reassure advertisers that radio is a good place for them to be placing their budgets.
What's been the effect of the sort of drift that we saw towards S&P sponsorship and away from spot ads? Did that actually happen, in fact?
It did sort of happen for a while, but I'd say actually what we've seen over the last few years is much more of a swing back towards spot advertising at a national and a local level, but particularly nationally. Spot advertising is very, very strong. And I think that's also maybe helped, again, through digital audio formats. Most of them will be taking a spot ad and playing that on a digital audio channel as well. So I think we're seeing a sort of a resurgence of interest in spot advertising. Branded content is still very strong, but spot advertising seems to be leading the way in revenue terms at the moment.
I was talking to David Lloyd on this podcast a couple of weeks ago and asking him if he thought it would ever be possible to run an old-fashioned ILR station, as we used to call them, but, you know, a radio station in a community that wasn't part of a big national consolidated group. And he pretty much said, no, you couldn't do that anymore. Would that be your view from the sort of Radio Centre national perspective?
I don't think you necessarily have to be part of a solid syndicated brand. I still think there's a market for local radio advertising. Most of that will be driven by local advertisers, of course. You know, there's a lot of SMEs that actually don't advertise at the moment. There's a new initiative from the Ad Association where they're considering the opportunity to try and encourage more SMEs to spend on advertising. And if that happens, then, you know, radio could certainly benefit from that. I think at a national level, though, it's definitely easier for big national advertisers to buy efficiently through sort of syndicated brands at a national level. There will be times when they want to communicate more specifically with a small local community, and therefore local radio advertising, very localised, will become much more important. Generally, I think there's an ease for them in buying things broadly at a national level.
Can we reach the whole of society through? I'm always slightly perplexed by the fact that radio audiences, we are told, are usually or often quite old, and yet advertisers, we're told, don't want to reach those people. They only want to reach much younger people. Do you think advertisers have got the hang, or will they ever get the hang of trying to advertise to middle-aged and older people who do comprise quite a large part of the audience, even to commercial radio?
That's a question with many layers. I think, yes, they're clearly seems to be a fascination with targeting all advertising towards younger audiences, but that's not exclusively the case. So there are some categories where people actually do realise that their core customers are going to be slightly older. So financial services, cars, that sort of thing tend to be areas where they do think a little bit more broadly at an older level. In terms of profile of audience, you're right, at an overall level across radio in its totality, in terms of hours spent listening, it does err towards the older audiences. But from a commercial perspective, we're obviously much younger in profile than the BBC. So we probably do fit more closely the sort of profile that the advertisers are seeking to target.
And you've announced these figures, which are great, and growth is always terrific. But as those of us who look at radio regularly know, what goes up can come down. It seems to me, from what you're saying about SMEs and other initiatives, that you think this growth might continue.
Well, I'm not in the business of forecasting, but what I would say is that the growth that we've announced this week is not just a flash in the pan. We've had pretty much continuous upward trends in growth since the end of 2013. So we're on a long-term growth trend. I think it's very difficult to predict the future, particularly with the uncertainties of Brexit. However, you know, I think we're in a good place in terms of audiences, in terms of extending our messaging to talk about radio delivering brand as well as being very effective for tactical advertising, in terms of the sort of building a wider appreciation of how effective radio can be for advertisers through our ROI multiplier survey from 2013, which sort of categorically demonstrates the return on investment you can get from radio, through to our more recent brand multiplier study that actually starts to reveal the brand effects that radio can deliver for advertisers, all of which we sort of tried to underpin with our See Radio Differently campaign. I think all of these things are helping to build momentum and strength for the medium, which hopefully we'll see continued growth in the future.
I think that's very good news, and I'm just going to give you a little plug as well. I don't think I'm alone in not knowing how much information there is about advertising and about what you do on the Radio Centre site. You know, the little podcast and the videos, and that, you know, there's a lot of stuff there that I think would give pause for thought to quite a few people who work in not just commercial radio, but actually community radio, in terms of how they think about getting their brand across to potential clients.
The claim that I like to put out is that we've got more publicly available effectiveness evidence and information for radio than any other medium. But we've got a perennial challenge, I think, which is getting people to understand quite how much is there and how they can use it. And you know, that's something that we're looking to address on an ongoing basis. But we would hope that we're sort of working on some new thinking around the website, which may help bring that stuff to the fore and make it much more readily accessible for people in the future.
Fascinating stuff. Mark Barber from Radio Centre, thank you very much for talking to the Radio Today programme.
It's a pleasure, and thank you very much for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Lovely. All right, let's have some news now. Here's Stu Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. The share of all radio listening via digital platforms is up to 48.8% now, according to the latest Rajar figures. The Q3 2017 data release also shows record audiences for a number of digital-only stations, including Six Music, Kistory, Heart 80s, Mellow Magic, TalkSport 2 and Virgin Radio. Among the other headlines in the latest Rajars, Grimmy now has the lowest audience for a Radio 1 breakfast show pretty much ever, as the number drops under 5 million. Year-on-year winners this time include One Extra, Radio 4, LBC, The Smooth Brand and Radio X. Capital remains the biggest commercial station in London, while LBC is number one on market share. Lots of analysis and full graphs for each station, of course, at radiotoday.co.uk/Rajar. Elsewhere, Sian Anderson will host the Drive Time show on Fridays on BBC Radio 1 Extra from the 10th of November. Sian currently does a weekly Wednesday late night show on the station. Mr. Jam's going to be doing the 1 Extra Drive Time show Monday to Thursday as Charlie Sloth goes to evenings on Radio 1. 1 Extra has also just announced a new Friday night 11pm till 1am show that'll be hosted by Radio 1's residency DJ Logan Sama. Original 106 in Aberdeen's been celebrating 10 years on air with a cash giveaway of £10,000. Former presenters and journalists also returned to the air to remember their time at the station, and there were features centred around the number 10, including 10 outside broadcasts in one day. And the nominations for the Audio Production Awards 2017 are out. The event celebrates individual producers across a variety of radio genres, as well as having awards for Best Speech Presenter and Best Music Presenter. Indie of the Year for 2017 will be between 7 Digital, CTVC, PRA Productions, Reduced Listening Company, TBI Media and Whistledown Productions. The ceremony is taking place on the 23rd of November at BFI South Bank in London. It's going to be hosted this year by Trevor Nelson. And you can see the full shortlists for each category in the Audio Production Awards at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu. And before David Lloyd's Radio Moments, a quick plug, if you'll forgive us, for this.
BBC Radio Manchester.
November the 8th, 1967 saw the start of an experiment in radio. An experiment that was to result in BBC local stations across England and the Channel Islands.
This is the first hometown radio station in Britain.
Good morning.
This is Tony Wolf on a test transmission for BBC Radio Merseyside.
I'm David Lloyd, and this Sunday at noon I'll be reflecting on those pioneering days and celebrating 50 years of BBC local radio.
Bring a disc where you can ask for any record in the whole world, as long as you bring it along to the studio yourself so that we can play it.
Friendly Radio this Sunday at noon.
BBC Radio Manchester.
That's a special programme that goes out across all of the BBC's 40 local radio stations in England and the Channel Islands on Sunday, this coming Sunday, November the 5th at 12 noon. And it'll be on the radio player for a month or so after that. Produced by me, voiced by David. It's a kind of Radio Today thing, and we think you'll like it. More David Lloyd after this.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments.
Radio 4 presenter Brian Redhead was quoted as saying, "If you want to drop a word in the ear of the nation, then this is the programme in which to do it." He was speaking about the Today programme, which this week celebrates its 60th anniversary.
In 1957, when Today was young and green, it went out in two editions, with a vicar in between, who gave thanks for the first one and offered up a prayer that they'd get it right the second time the show went on the air.
Today was launched on the BBC Home Service on the 28th of October 1957. The week before the programme launched, she'd have heard instead Morning Music, shared with the Light programme, also Programme Parade, and Shopping List, a short programme on food news. 2 years prior, Robin Day had mooted the idea of a 15-minute topical news programme featuring intelligent, pithy comment, if only to address what he called a bleak and barren time of day on radio. Today was a reassuring programme of topical talks, described as a breakfast-time magazine bringing you news, views and interviews. The first edition, in two 20-minute parts, featured items on the sale of Napoleon's letters, a feature on new gramophone records, and an interview with a passenger flying to Scotland on business. 55-year-old Alan Skempton was the first presenter, with Jack DeManio appointed its principal presenter the following year.
John will be here at this time tomorrow night to tell you a little about what we've got in mind for you for Wednesday morning. But from the Today studio at just about 15 minutes... I can't read your writing. I've got a chap writing it out for me here, the silly fool, and I can't read his writing. Well, it's 16 minutes to and a half.
Jack DeManio, who became famous for his clock problems. As car radio listening grew, so did the programme's reputation. But it wasn't until 63 that the programme fell to BBC Current Affairs and started to become really news-oriented.
I remember that...
Desmond Lynham.
That's right. Desmond was reading the news, the sports news, and we had these selection of mice in the studio. And you had the happy thought of placing one of these mice on Desmond Lynham's script as he was reading the sports news, and the thing walked slowly out of his sleeve right through the sports news. He kept on reading.
He was terrified of mice, too. I didn't know that.
John Timpson reminiscing with Jack DeManio. By the late 70s, the much-loved team of John Timpson and Brian Redhead became established.
Well, you've been a supporter of the Labour Party all your life, Brian, so I expect you to say something like that, but you really shouldn't sneer at these job clubs, which are giving real hope to the long-term unemployed, getting them out of their depressed state of mind many of them are in, and they are going on to get real jobs.
Do you think we should have a one-minute silence now in this interview? One, for you to apologise for daring to suggest that you know how I vote, and secondly, perhaps in memory of monetarism, which you've now discarded.
Good morning from John Timpson in Brighton, where at 2:50 this morning, an explosion extensively damaged the Grand Hotel.
John Timpson stayed with the programme 16 years. On his retirement in 86, John Humphreys and Sue McGregor joined the regular team. Other presenters over the years have included Barry Norman, Desmond Lynham, Jenny Murray, Anna Ford, Libby Purvis and Peter Hobday. James Naughtie joined in 94.
Good morning to you from James Naughtie and John Humphreys. It's Monday the 28th of February.
After 21 years, James left the programme, but not without sadness.
All that continues and I can't wait for it, but it is inescapably a moment of change because you can't sit in this chair working with such talented and decent producers without being woven into the fabric of the programme, which I am, and with all the presenters down the years, especially Sarah, Justin and Michelle in recent times, as well as my old friend here, with whom I started and with whom I now finish. I'll be giving them my thanks, but all of you who listen need to be thanked too. You are the programme. Thank you. Our editors were Terry O'Neill and Tim DeParmon, from John and from me. Good morning.
John Humphreys is still in the chair after more than 30 years, but here's a day when he received an unexpected caller into the programme.
The time is 13 minutes to 7, and let me bring you up to date with this morning's big news. Mr Gorbachev is cutting short his visit to New York and flying straight back to the Soviet Union because of the earthquake in Armenia. It means, of course, that he will not be coming to Britain. We have on the telephone now from 10 Downing Street, Mrs Thatcher, who I gather has just heard the news, Prime Minister.
Hello, good morning. I heard it on your news briefing. It was the first indication we've had, but of course we understand. When there's a tragedy like that, Mr.
The Today programme has presided over great moments of British history and dealt with them with typical calmness. Sue McGregor.
Good morning. This is a special edition of Today. The Allied forces in the Gulf have begun their all-out ground offensive.
Good morning to you. This is Today with Sue McGregor and John Humphreys on Friday, the 2nd of May, the start of a new chapter in Britain's political history. The Labour Party has been swept to power with the biggest majority it has ever had, at least 416 seats in the House of Commons. The Conservatives have been demolished.
It's 6 o'clock on Friday, the 24th of June. Good morning. This is Today with Sarah Montague and John Humphreys.
The BBC is forecasting that the UK has voted to leave the European Union after more than 40 years. With only a handful of areas left to declare, 52% of the country has voted to leave the EU and 48% to remain.
The Today programme has also made the news. May 2003.
The government's facing more questions this morning over its claims about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Our defence correspondent is Andrew Gilligan. This in particular, Andy, is Tony Blair saying they'd be ready to go within 45 minutes.
That's right. That was a central claim in his dossier, which he published in September. The main case...
Lord Hutton's report the following year into that broadcast resulted in the resignation of both the BBC chairman and the director-general. And it wasn't to be the last time a director-general resignation followed a broadcast on the Today programme.
But you must have known what happened because a tweet was put out 24 hours beforehand telling the world, 12 hours beforehand, telling the world that something was going to happen on Newsnight that night that would reveal extraordinary things about child abuse and that would involve a senior Tory figure from the Thatcher years. You didn't see that tweet?
I didn't see that tweet, John. I now understand.
Why not?
I check Twitter sometimes at the end of
you
the day, or
staff.
I don't check
you have an
at
enormous
all.
Staff of people who are reporting into you.
George Entwistle, who became the shortest-serving BBC Director-General. 17 years ago, the Today programme went online, but it wasn't always at the cutting edge.
That email address for a report is today@bbc.co.uk. And try and get it to us in the next 45 minutes. Any thoughts at all?
Good idea.
Email us.
I think you need to add stroke today at the end of that address.
Do you? Right, OK.
I think otherwise I'll spend 3 hours trying to get through.
I felt quite chuffed reading it out.
You did very well, Gary. No, this is no criticism.
Yeah, the email is today@bbc.co.uk.
Oh, is it? Oh, it used to be different. It used to be bbc.co.uk.
No, you're talking about
the
website.
Oh, look, why don't I just stop completely? I'll go out and come in again.
And with so many presenters and newsreaders and interviewees, it's hardly surprising that it's easy to get them confused.
Today's newsreader is Peter Donaldson.
Senior Conservatives will use the start of their annual conference in Bournemouth to set out a...
Today's newsreader is Diana Spencer.
It's Diana Speed. Forgive me.
No, not at all. David Cameron will formally present his proposal...
So, this week, the Today programme celebrates its 60th anniversary, now claiming audiences of over 7 million. Without a doubt, it's become one of the world's most influential radio programmes and helps our medium retain its status and shows its real prowess. Happy birthday, Today. Radio
Moments. Thank you, David, Stu Clarkson and Mark Barber from Radio Centre. Next week, we'll be back at Jazz FM for another round table where I'm guessing the Today programme might be back on the agenda. We'll also discuss social media accounts, so let me know who you think are the best radio people on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. My guests next week, Steve Parkinson, Nikki Birch and Paul Chantler. See for that, possibly also at the Rain Summit and at the Gillards. Busy week. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.